welcome once again, friends, to another broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. This is Pastor Paul Tabano of Harvest Church in Clifton Park, New York, and I'm so glad you have decided to share this time with us. I pray today's program will be life-changing as you listen to the uncompromised Word of God. Now let's join a service already in progress.
We've been talking about a simple word called apostate. Now go over, if you don't mind, a second to Thessalonians real quick. Can you do that? First verse, second verse. And what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to read it from the Message Bible. Can I do that for you? I'm in the second chapter, if you don't mind. And I'm reading the Message Bible. Now, friends, read these next words carefully. Slow down. Don't go jumping to conclusions regarding the day when our Master Jesus Christ will come back and we will assemble to welcome him. Say he's coming back. There's no doubt about it. Don't let anyone shake you up or get you excited over some breathless report or rumored letter from me that the day of the Master's arrival has come and gone. Don't fall for anything like that. How many of you know there's enough lies out there? Before that day comes, a couple of things have to happen. Say two things have to happen. First, the apostasy. I heard Rod Parsley the other day, he said apostasy is basically the fire's gone out. The great falling away of the church, listen, from the truth. Listen to this quote by Charles Spurgeon. If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees. Let no one go there unawared or unprayed for. Here's a quote I had given you before. And this is by, believe it or not, Charles Finney. How many of you know who Charles Finney is? One of the greatest preachers. 1873, on December the 4th, he preached a message entitled The Decay of Conscience. Listen to what he said. Our preaching will bear its legitimate fruits. If immorality prevails in the land, the fault is in our pulpits in a great degree. So where is the problem? It's because the pulpit is afraid to preach the truth. I'm here to tell you, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I will always preach the truth of God's word to the best of my ability with the help of the Holy Ghost. It's a time, listen, it's a time for great challenges. But listen to me. Jesus Christ is alive and well. He has defeated Satan. He's kicked him off of his throne, and he is now in his rightful place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, if immorality prevails in the land, the fault is ours, the pulpits in a great degree. If the church is degenerate and worldly, listen to me. Yes, it already is. The pulpit's responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible. How many of you understand what I'm saying is going on even as we speak? Hallelujah. Glory to God. There seems to be no peace anywhere. Men have no solutions without the Holy Ghost. Men have no solutions without God. Hallelujah. Amen. Say this out loud. There's too much devil talk. If somebody wins a world championship, nobody wants to go to the losing locker room. Would you? You go to the winning locker room. Satan is in the losing locker room. Why do I want to keep bringing his name up and bringing up the things that he does and give him glory? He is totally and completely wasted. Gone, finished, undone. Say undone. Undone. Now, I've preached on this, I don't know how many times, over 50 years, but I'm going to give you three scripture verses. Can I do that? If you've never heard these, this is wonderful. If you've heard them before, it's going to be wonderful again because you're hearing them again from a wonderful guy. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go over to 1 John real quick. I'm going to give you a little trail, a little paper trail if I could. 1 John 3:8 says this in the Amplified. But he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil. How many of you are practicing evil doing? No, you're not. So you're not of who? You're not of the devil. Takes his character from the evil one. For the devil has sinned, violated the divine law from the beginning. Say the beginning. Has he done that? Absolutely, positively. You can find it in Genesis and run right through the Word of God. Wow. The reason the Son of God, who's the Son of God? The reason the Son of God was manifested. What does it mean to be manifested? Made visible. Was Jesus made visible? Yes, he came in the form of a baby. Remember the king, when he found out there was another king, he got so unnerved, he had all the babies killed. Manifest, visible, was to undo. Say undo. In the Greek language, undo means to destroy, to loosen, dissolve the works that the devil has done. So when Jesus showed up as a baby in a manger, he caused Satan's kingdom to do what? Come unglued and fall apart. My best illustration the Lord ever gave me was if somebody's sewing a garment and their bobbin runs out of thread. Then you pick up the garment thinking it's done, and what happens to the garment? Falls apart because somebody's unaware the bobbin's out of thread. Am I right? Satan's kingdom fell apart. Why? Because Jesus showed up. Guess what? When you show up, Jesus shows up, and anything the devil's trying to do falls apart, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand your ground. Say, stand my ground. Go over to Hebrews. I'm even getting a little something today. Hebrews chapter number 2. Say 2. Look at verses 14 and 15. I'm giving you some scripture that's so easy to remember. Say Hebrews, and you can mark these in your Bible. Hebrews. Say, the enemy is defeated. Since, therefore, these his children share in flesh and blood in the physical nature of human beings, he himself, who's the he, Jesus, in similar manner partook of the same nature by going through death. Say, going through death. Why? That by going through death, he might bring to naught. Say, naught. What does naught mean? Say, zero. Zero times anything is always going to be what? Zero. Well, the enemy's blowing something up and making you thinking this and thinking this and thinking this. And when he's done, you take it times zero, it's always going to wind up zero. Yeah. Hallelujah. Nothing's greater than God. Nothing's greater than his word. Say, reduced to nothing. Listen, and it means of make of no effect him, listen, who had the power of death, that is the devil. So what did Jesus do? He took Satan, who had the power of death, and what did he do? Made his efforts zero. But don't forget, what is he a father of? So if he's the father of lies, what's he going to try to do? About what? Everything. But since you and I know the truth from 1 John 3:8, and we just found out from what over here? Hebrews, say Hebrews, 2:14-15, that his power of death has been reduced to what? So when people say, I'm fearful of dying, no, you shouldn't be, because you don't die, you just leave this place and go home where you belong. Hallelujah, glory to God. So far we found out that he has no power in what? Say in death, say it aloud, don't be bashful. I still remember my father-in-law when we did his funeral years ago, and it was just a spirit of, like a party spirit. And the undertaker said, hey, Pastor, can I talk to you? Yeah. What's going on here? I mean, did everybody go to a party and, you know, have some beers or something before? I said, no. He says, I've never been, all the years I've done a funeral, it's always like quiet and reverent. I said, we're being quiet and reverent. Come to church, it's a little different. Hallelujah, glory to God. It's a celebration. What's a celebration? That dad went home to be with the Lord. And I remember his last words on the hospital bed in our home. I don't know if you were there or not, hon. And he was trying to say words, and he couldn't because he had had a stroke, and we were waiting for the ambulance. And I remember I put my ear right next to his mouth, and he was saying, home. Now, here's another one, Colossians. This tells me that Satan, listen, say this for me, Satan has no power. What did we just read? His power over death was reduced to what? But, say but, he'll do everything in his power. What's in his power? Lies. So if we know the, we can identify. So what kind of a stranglehold can he have in us? Go like this, zero. Well, the devil made me do it. Well, the guy who made that thing up is dead. The devil doesn't make you and I do anything. My wife and I were talking about this, and I preached this, I'm bringing stuff out of my spirit that I preached before. When the Bible says, give no place for the devil, the word place in the Greek means beachhead. When an invading army gets a beachhead, troubles are brewing. If you'd ever watched anything about D-Day, there was so much blood that the waters turned literally red. It looked like the waters were just red from the blood of the men. But once they got a beachhead, it was all over for the Germans. If the enemy is allowed to get a beachhead in your life or my life through some lies that he perpetrates, we're in trouble. But you stop him on the beach. Don't let him even get one of his demons on the beach, because you stand up boldly and you take the word of God and begin to speak it out of your mouth. Well, you're going to be just like your father, an alcoholic. No, I'm not. You're going to be like your parents, destitute. No, I'm not. I'm going to have problems with my kids like I was a problem with them. No, you're not. You can draw a line in the sand and say, Satan, you cannot and will not cross the bloodline of Jesus Christ, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You've got to stand boldly and say. The woman with the issue of blood heard it. Then she touched the word of God. She touched Jesus. And then he said, who touched me? One person out of thousands touched him, and he said, who touched me? And then she said, say, then she said. Now listen to me. She didn't feel before she got healed. She felt after she got healed. Too many times we put the caboose in front of the engine. Don't wait till you feel something to know that God's already healed you and touched you. There's some marriages right now that God's touching. There's some men in here that you're messing up your marriage and you're messing things up with your wife because you won't die to yourself. There's too much flesh. God says enough is enough. Hallelujah. Having canceled and blotted out and wiped, listen to those three things. Say canceled. Yes. Wiped away. The handwriting of the note bond with its legal decrees and demands was enforced and stood against us and hostile to us. The note with regulations, decrees, and demands, he set them aside. Said he set them aside. Cleared completely out of the way by nailing it to his cross. In the times of Christ, if you had broken the law, sometimes the judge would say, okay, we call it community service today. But if you had to serve time, every time you would serve a day of your time, they would take and cross something off of the time you owed. That's what Jesus is saying here. That's what the word of God is saying. It was erased until the slate was clean. Say, my slate's clean. Listen to the next verse. God, listen to me now, disarmed. If George stood in front of me with a gun, and I know that he's disarmed, but he's got a gun, no bullets, say disarmed. How much harm can somebody who's disarmed do to you? They can't, unless you believe they're armed. Well, they're holding a gun. Is there any bullets in it? Well, I don't know. No, there isn't. Disarmed means what? Disarmed, say disarmed. Say it again, disarmed. Disarmed. Somebody's disarmed, guess what? They've got nothing on you. Can they listen to the next word? Disarmed the principalities and powers that were arraigned against us and made a bold display, a public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in the cross. In the times of Christ, that if a country were to defeat another country, they would take the entire army and they'd march them in chains down the center of the boulevard. No weapons, say disarm. And as they marched them through, everybody would be yelling and screaming because somebody won. Say somebody won. Guess who won? Jesus won. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what he did to Satan. Totally and completely disarm. Say disarm him.
This is Pastor Carolyn Tabano. I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. If today's program has encouraged you and you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please send all correspondence and financial contributions to Harvest Church, 303 Grooms Road, Clifton Park, New York, 12065. If you'd like to download today's message and view our complete media library, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, you can find us at soldoutforjesus.com. Until next time, remember that you too can be sold out for Jesus, because Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive.